Of scripture, you read about two ways. You read about a broad way and a narrow way, and I'm sure it's a familiar portion to you, but I don't know if you've ever thought about it much, but I have. I guess being a preacher, you think about it. But wouldn't it be a sad situation to live your life thinking that you were going to heaven, thinking that you were serving God, and stand before him and realize that you hadn't been? I guess one of the worst situations you could be is deceived into thinking that you were saved and yet on your way to hell. And yet the Bible says there'll be many in that condition. The Bible talks about two ways, and just the very thought of that, of just thinking, well, you know, some people, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. There's many people in Modesto today and in the world today who think they're on their way to heaven, and they're not on their way to heaven. They're on their way to hell. And just that very thought will make you check your own salvation. When I think about that, I check and I make sure and I say, okay, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Yes, I know I'm going to heaven according to the Word of God. But there's many people who are deceived into thinking they're saved and they're not. That's a rough situation. Just recently, Mother Teresa died. And I'm sure, now I don't know, I can't tell anybody's salvation as far as, I don't know if you're saved or lost. In the final essence, it's a spiritual work. It's done on the heart. But for what she stood for, and the religion that she was in, she's in hell. She wasn't saved. And I'm sure she's in for a big surprise. She stand before the Lord and said, but Lord, look at all the wonderful works I've done. Look at all the marvelous things I've done. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, if you're saved here this morning, God can't say that about you because he knows you. Amen. Amen. But, she was such a good lady and did many wonderful works. Look what the Bible says. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work, what? Iniquity. And you got all kinds of good doers around, you know, and they're doing all kinds of these works and this and that and stuff. And they're on the Broadway, and they're going to destruction if they don't get saved. There's only two ways. You know, there's only two religions in the world. Now, actually, what we have is not a religion. It's called one, but it's not. I don't have a religion this morning. I have a relationship. Yeah. There's a big difference. But there's only two, generically speaking, there's only two religions. One says do and the other one says done. One says work and the other one says rest. One says maybe, the other one says I know. One creates self-righteousness, the other bestows God's righteousness. You see, there's only two religions. I don't care if it's Buddhism, Baha'i, Krishna, or whatever it is, or Christianity, there's only two. There's only two. I mean, if you get talking to someone and they give you some long answer, you know, you're knocking on doors and they say, well, I'm a such and such, you never heard of it before, and just preach Jesus.
Amen.
Just preach Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. You know, I mean, well, I don't understand all that religion, but I know Jesus Christ is the only way, and if you're not going through Him, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. Well, I've got my religion. They always say, well, we're all working to get to the same place. Well, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. And there's only two ways. You say, preacher, that's a hard statement. It's the truth. It's the truth. And there's only two ways. And I want us to notice these two ways this morning just for the next few minutes. And I want you to notice the first one, the way into life. The way into life. And when you pass through this gate, you enter life. And any other gate that you try and go through, there's no life. There's no life in this world. There may be some pleasure for a time. There's no life in religions. There's no life in those things. That's just death out there. The only real life is in Jesus Christ. And you've got to enter through the straight and narrow gate. And if you don't go through that straight and narrow gate, then you don't have life. That Bible says, he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Him this morning?
Yeah.
All right, then you have life. And if you don't have Him, you don't have life. It's that simple. It's just that simple. I was like a preacher one time, was talking to a man that picked up a hitchhiker, and he was witnessing to him, and he said, you know, do you have Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, the way I see it is, and he'd give this long thing, he'd say, well, I don't know anything about that, but I know that he that hath Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of life, hath not the Son of God, and hath not life. You got Him? Well, now, preacher, and he'd go on with another thing. He said, well, I don't know about that, but I know that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Him? Well, now, preacher, he went on, and about the third, fourth time of that, he said, he that hath the Son hath life, do you have Him? And he goes, no, I ain't got Him. And he goes, well, you need Him. He said, yeah, I guess I do. And he got saved. And that's it. If you got the Son of God, you got life. And there's two ways. And you go through the straight and narrow gate. Number one, you've got safety from sin and wrath. Safety from sin and wrath. In this gate, you get inside the gate of life, then you're safe in there. You know, if you're lost here this morning, that Bible says, he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And every one of us here, at some time in your life, the wrath of God was abiding on you. And if you're not saved, it's abiding on you right now today. And it's coming your way. God, there's judgment coming your way because you're a sinner and you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you'll ask Him to save you and enter through the straight and narrow gate, then you're safe once you're inside. It's like those cities of refuge in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about some cities of refuge that God set up in the nation of Israel. And it was for someone, say they're out splitting wood, you know, getting ready for winter, and the axe head comes off there, and he's come down splitting that wood, and that thing flies off, splits the guy's skull wide open, you know, and kills him. He's like, oh, no, you know. And the guy's brother says, I'm going to kill that guy. Why, he should have been more careful. Why, that was my brother, and I love my brother. I'm going to kill him. Then God set up a place that guy could run to. And boy, he'd be running. And this avenger of blood be coming after him. And, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, he'd be running for that city, you know. Oh, the nearest one. And boy, he'd get inside that city. That avenger of blood would have to stop. He couldn't go in there and get him. Those people come up, no, you can't come in. What happened? Well, he was splitting wood and he killed my brother. So that's right, he's safe in here. I'll tell you what, there was a day in my life when I was guilty and there was judgment coming on me. But when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, I got saved inside of there. Amen? I'll tell you, they had a thing back in the prairie days. This old-fashioned Sunday would be apropos illustration, but they'd be crossing the prairies and sometime a prairie fire would sweep across the plains, across the grasses, and they'd see that thing coming. What they'd do, they'd stop everything, they'd get down, they'd light a fire. And they'd stand back and let that fire burn, and then they'd get in the middle of that where that had already burned, and that wildfire would come along, burn all around them, but they were safe in there. You see, because the judgment or the fire had already taken place. And if you can get in Jesus Christ, the judgment's already taken place. You're safe in Him. You're inside the gate. And there's life inside the gate. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I'll tell you what else is inside the gate. There's fellowship with God. There's fellowship. I enjoy fellowship with God. I really do. When God's not close, I get real grieved. Because He's my best friend. He's the greatest friend I've ever known. And I enjoy fellowship with Him. And there's people out in life. And I remember in my life when I was lost, I'd be at parties and stuff, and I'd have friends and all things. But in that time, I was alone. I was just alone, and I was just hungry and thirsty. There was an emptiness in my soul that I was trying to fill, and the things of this world couldn't fill it. Until I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. And boy, there's peace, there's fellowship in there. I tell you, that's a blessing. Not only that, it's an open way. It may be straight, and it may be narrow, but thank God it's open. You know, for many years, it wasn't. It wasn't open, not like we know it. In the Old Testament, when they would pass away or they'd die, they didn't go to heaven. They went to paradise or Abraham's bosom. And at the time, it was in the heart of the earth. And at one point, it wasn't open. That Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Can you imagine this? Suppose you're going across the street, you know, and you're walking down and you got to cross the street. And you're going to step your foot out there on that asphalt off that sidewalk, across the street. And this idiot comes driving by, you know, not watching what he's doing, and hits you. Wouldn't that be something? You're walking across, and the Bible says, be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And you walk along, you're about ready to step on that street like that. All of a sudden, blam, you get hit, and you put your foot down on a golden street. Wouldn't that be neat? Whoa, where was this, you know? And to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But it's an open way. And when you die, if you're saved, you're going to be with Jesus Christ. And for a long time, it wasn't open. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Heavenly Father saying, well, it's possible, but if you don't go, there ain't going to be anybody saved, and no one's going to get out of Abraham's bosom. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood and made the payment for our sins and died and was buried, and he rose again the third day. And they had a temple in Israel. It was a beautiful thing. Had this beautiful veil in the temple. It was purple and scarlet with beautiful gold. I think it was palm trees and angels and cherubims woven through that thing. Just a beautiful thing. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom. I want you to see that. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 27. You got to see that. Look at Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse 51. Matthew 27, 51. I believe every time I get preaching, the clock speeds up. I can't understand that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. Watch this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And I believe that veil, I mean, that symbolized that high priest would bring in the blood, and once a year he'd go on the other side of that veil and offer the blood on the mercy seat for the sins of the people, and he'd come back out. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, I believe the Heavenly Father just went over the battlements of heaven and went, won't need that anymore. Amen? And I'll tell you what, you don't need somebody to pray for you. You don't need to go to somebody and say, oh, would you please pray for me? Would you intercede for me? When that veil was rent in twain, you have direct access to God, and you don't need anybody to pray for you and intercede for you. Jesus Christ is your great high priest now. The way is open. The way is open. Not only that, it's a narrow way. The Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And it's so narrow, you got to lose some things in order to get through there. In order to get through that gate is so narrow. You say, how narrow is it? It's so narrow, you got to get rid of your self-righteousness. You got to get rid of some things, or you're not going to fit through the gate. As it says, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it, you must come in at the door. Amen? And that's the truth. You got to go through the door to get saved. And I'll tell you what, it's a narrow way. I read this story about this man. He was 800 pounds. 800 pounds. And one day he got up to go to the restroom, and he got stuck in the doorway. I don't know if you ever read this story. This is a few years back. He got stuck in the doorway, and they had to call the fire department and everything, get him, you know, breaking free, cut the door out and stuff like that. And he said, man, I better lose some weight. And so he lost about 400 pounds. And I think it was from February to September to February, he lost 400 pounds. I don't know if it was that quick, but that's what it says. And now he can get through the door. He can get right through that door. And you know, he just had to lose some things. And if you're not saved here this morning, you're going to have to lose some things in order to get through the door. You're going to have to quit trusting yourself. Right. And, oh, I'm a good person, or I think I'll make it. No. You're going to have to get rid of all that stuff. And you're going to have to go through the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. And you got to go through Him. He's the only way. Out in the desert below Jerusalem, there's a city. Brother Jones probably knows about Petra. Up there, it's a rock fortress city up in the hills. And the Jews are going to flee to that city in the tribulation. They're running for their lives. But that city is a city that's just caves, and it's cut out in the rocks. And in order to get to that city, I mean, barring a helicopter or something like that, but for illustration purpose, they'll be on foot. There's these cliffs that come together, and there's a narrow passageway that goes, is it a couple miles that goes in there? It's how far? Mile and a quarter. It's a mile and a quarter, and it's just two cliffs come, and it's just wide enough for a person to walk in there. And that's the only way into that city. And they say, well, I want to go some other way. No, you're going to go in through that right there. That's the only way in. And if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a straight and narrow way. Not only that, it's the way of the few. And the Bible says there, it says, few there be that find it. Do you ever think about that? Few there be that find it? Are you saved here this morning? You're one of the few. Do you ever think about how many people are in this world? I don't know what we're up to now. Is it 4 or 5 billion? I mean, and the Bible says, few there be that find it. And I have the privilege of being saved and going to heaven. And I'm on the narrow road. I've been born again. I'm one of the few. And if you're saved here this morning, you're one of the few. That doesn't make you special. That just ought to humble you and make you thankful. I mean, I'm one of the few. I've made it. I'm going to heaven, and there's so many people that are on the Broadway, and they're on the way to hell, and they're going to burn forever, and yet I've made it. Just a little old sinner on the backside of a planet, just worth nothing, and yet I have the privilege of being saved and going to heaven. I don't understand it. You know, Christians, sometimes you forget where you came from. You forget that you're a minority. You forget that you're to the world you're negative, and you're they don't like you, and you're a stench in their nostrils, according to 2 Corinthians. You stink to them, according to 2 Corinthians. And you need to remember that. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel. There's an illustration of this in the Old Testament. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. I heard a sermon on this recently. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. I'll give you time to get there. I like to let people read it with me. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now the context here is David's running for his life. Saul's been after him, trying to kill him. Jealous of him, envious of him, trying to kill him. And David's running for his life. He's got some men, about 400 men that are following him. And notice this in verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, if you're saved here this morning, there was a time in your life where you went to the cave. There was a time in your life where you realized either you were in distress, either you were in distress about your sins and where you were headed, or else you realized you were in debt to your sins and you can never pay God back, or you were discontented and just fed up with this world. And you had to go to a Savior that was hanging on a tree and died and buried and rose again. In essence, you went to the cave. And you went down there and you got saved. And these men that resorted to David, they're misfits. They're people that they'd had enough with Saul's reign and Saul's kingdom and all that. And they went to David down in the cave. And you need to realize and remember just where you came from. You came from the cave. You came from a Christianity in centuries past where they were whipped and tortured and beat and poor and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and were shipwrecked and just all kinds of torturous things done to them. That's our heritage. That's the heritage of the few. The majority don't go through that because the majority are on the Broadway. And the few, they're the ones that go through it. They're the ones. And you need to realize that you're one of the few. People don't like to be alone. I never have understood. You take young girls, you know, they want to say, I got to go to the restroom. Want to go? Okay. And they go in two. They go in pairs. You ever notice that? Isn't that weird? I know. In high school, it's always that way, you know. They go in pairs. To me, I don't understand. They won't go alone. People are strange things, you know, but they don't like to be alone. People just don't want to be alone. And you better be prepared someday to be able to stand up for Jesus all by yourself. All by yourself. He stood up for you all by himself, didn't he? Hung on an old rugged cross when all forsook him and fled. That's our Savior. Why do only a few find it? Because it's a negative way. It's a negative way. You say, oh, I'm not that bad. Well, you're bad enough to go to hell. That Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a negative way. People don't want to be told they're sinners. You know what people hate about you? The world I'm talking about. You know what they don't like? They don't like you telling them you're going to hell. They don't like. That's what they resent. And they'll say, oh, you can have your religion. Oh, that's fine. And you can go around and be a nice, good Christian, all that stuff. But when you say, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, boy, they get upset. They don't like that. One time there was a, you got to admit, you're going to hell before you can get saved. You got to admit you're lost before you can get saved. One time there was a prince going through a jail over in England. This is years back. And he was talking to the prisoners and he had a pardon in his hand. He's going to let him go free. And he's talking to each one. He said, oh, why are you here? Are you guilty? And prisoner after prisoner would say, no, sir, your majesty, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. I was framed. I shouldn't be here. And he said, okay. And he'd go to the next cell. And they'd say, oh, I'm innocent. And cell after cell would say to the prince, he'd say, oh, I'm innocent, your majesty. Finally got to a cell. And he said, are you guilty? He said, yep. He said, you are? He said, yep, I'm guilty. He said, I did it. He said, man, I don't know what you're doing in here with all these innocent men. He said, I'm going to pardon you and let him go free. You know, that's what happened to us. You said, yes, Lord, I deserve hell. Would you save me? He said, all right, you can go free. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a negative way. It's a negative way, but it's the right way. And then not only that, the way of destruction. The way of destruction is a broad way. And that's where the majority of people are on. The majority is always wrong. You know, I love America and I love democracy and actually we're a republic, but the majority's always wrong. It's a dangerous thing. You know, it was a majority that crucified Christ. Remember that? Pilate says, you know which one? Let's take a voice vote, and the ones that said crucify him, they won. That's democracy right there. and you take the broad way, the majority is always wrong. You're going to look strange to this world. And a Christian's job, if the world's coming this way, is to turn and just go right against them. And boy, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's a broad way, and it suits everybody's fancy. You know, you can take any kind of religion. I mean, if something appeals to you, you can find it. If you're an intellectual, there's intellectual religion out there. If you're emotional, there's emotional religion out there. If you're scientific, there's scientific religion. I mean, you can just take your pick. There's all kinds. There's all kinds. And it suits anybody's fancy, and they're all headed to the same place. It's a sad situation, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't like that. The broad way is a crowded way. It's a crowded way. There's a lot of people going to hell. A lot of people. The majority's on their way to hell. It's a crowded way, and it's easy to go downhill. The road you're on is an uphill road. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And we're to press on and we're to reach for higher ground. But the majority of this world is on a broad way, and it's just leading down, and they're just coasting. They're just coasting. Isn't that strange why in the big cities, the busiest street's called Broadway? Isn't that strange? They get that from a Bible, although they don't realize it. And you won't be alone on this road. If you don't want to be alone, then you're going to have a hard time being a Christian. Because lots of times, some of you here, you got jobs. You're the only Christian at work. You're trying to do a job. You're trying to be a good Christian. You feel just so alone. Just so alone. Because the people you work around, they don't care nothing about your Savior. They don't care nothing about the Word of God. They don't care nothing about trying to live right. They're just on the broad way, and you're alone. You're alone. It's a difficult road, and the majority is on the wide road. I never will forget. We were preaching on the street in Foley, Alabama, and I was talking. And after we got done preaching on the street, we went down to the parking lot where all the teenagers hung out, and I was witnessing to the teenagers passing out tracts and stuff. And I talked to this one girl and told her about salvation and everything, and boy, got her right down to where she was knew what to do and knew she needed to pray. And I'd say, well, won't you pray? Won't you ask the Lord into your heart? And the whole time she's looking over her shoulder. Well, I know I should do that. But she's looking over her shoulder. She didn't want to leave the crowd. She didn't want to get... She'd rather stay on the Broadway and go to hell than to leave the crowd and trust Jesus Christ and go to heaven. I'll tell you. It's a rough situation for many people. They don't like being alone. Frankly, it doesn't bother me. But the majority is always wrong. Last of all, the broad way is a fatal way. It's a fatal way. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on a road that if you continue on that road, it's a fatal way that's going to end in destruction. And that's talking about hell. And when you leave hell and stand before God, then you end up in a lake of fire burning forever and ever and ever. And I'm here because I love you, and I don't want to see you go to hell, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's a fatal way. It's a fatal way. Years back, there was a story. Some of you probably saw the movie. I saw it before I was saved. It's called The Poseidon Adventure. And that movie, some of you young people, maybe you haven't seen it, but I'll just tell you the story about it. It's about this big ocean liner going across the ocean. And as it's crossing through the night, they see something on the screen, and there's this big old tidal wave coming. And they see it before it's too late. They can't turn. They start to turn the ship into the tidal wave to cut through it, and they don't make it. And that tidal wave takes that ship and turns it upside down. And of course, when it does, a man being the depraved human being that he is likes to watch everybody scream and holler and cry. And you see people flying through windows, you know, and people screaming and things blowing up, you know, and they're showing all this stuff. And this ship ends up upside down. And of course, it's like a little bubble. It's just sitting there. And the stacks are in the water and everything's all turned over. And people start to pick up the pieces and they're waking up, you know, and they're wounded. And this little group of survivors starts to make their way to the top, which is now the bottom of the ship because it's upside down. And the movie goes that they go through all kinds of trials and harrowing disasters and things to get up to where the top of the ship is. Of course, I don't know what they were thinking about when they got up there, because it's the bottom. There's no door up there. Of course, the movie figures that out. But anyway, they're going and they're climbing and they're doing all kinds of things. Some of them die on the way, you know, and they're just trying everything they could. And boy, it's hard and it's just difficult. And they're going, as they almost get to the top, I never will forget this, they hear footsteps. And they're climbing over things, getting there, and they hear these footsteps. And what's that? Shh. They hear these footsteps. What is? And they look over and across on the other side of the ship, looking through these corridors and stuff, they see people. And these people are walking the wrong way. They're going down. And they climb over and said, "Hey, you're going the wrong way." And this one one of the officers of the ship was there, and he's leading them. And these people were in a daze. They're like, "Well, we're just following the captain. We're just following him." And they're just spaced out. They're in a daze. And they said, "But the ship's upside down. Don't you realize you're going the wrong way? The ship's upside down. Don't go that way." "Well, we're just following him." And they were just zombies. They said, and they finally just left them alone. And said, "Well." And boy, they climbed up and they escaped in this story. There's rescuers came, cut a hole in the bottom, and they escaped through that thing. But you know, that's a lot like this world. The majority of this world just going through life. They're a bunch of zombies. You say, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. "Well, I'm just doing what everybody else is doing. I don't know about..." "But don't you realize? I mean, there's a Savior. If you don't get saved, you're going to burn." "Well, I'm just following. I mean, Brother Joe, he's a good man, and I think he'll make it." And boy, they're just out there. Just out there. They're on the broad way, and it's leading to destruction. Are you on the straight and narrow? Are you on your way to heaven? If you're here this morning, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart? Have you ever said, "Lord, come into my heart and save me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Lord, save me." He'll do it. He'll do it. I'm not telling you about a Baptist church. I'm not telling you about a religion. I'm telling you about a person. And if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll get you to heaven. You'll get on that straight and narrow way. And I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you'll be glad that you did. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that You'd bless the message, Father. God, if there's someone here this morning who's lost, I pray they get saved. If there's Christians here and maybe You've spoken to their heart about something, maybe they're just afraid to be alone. Maybe they don't want to be strange. God, I pray You give them some courage and some guts to stand up for Jesus Christ. But Father, if there's somebody here this morning who's lost, quicken their understanding and show them and help them to realize that they're with friends. God, I pray to get saved. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't know. If I was to die today, that I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm just not sure, preacher. Would you pray for me?" Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody here like that? Says, "I'm not sure that I'm saved." Is there anybody here? I'm not here to put you on the spot or anything. I'm here to just tell you about Jesus Christ so you can go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Is there anybody here, heads bowed and eyes closed, that says, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I'll just pray for you. That's all I want to do." All right, if you're a Christian here this morning, and this sermon's been mainly to the lost, but if you're a Christian and the Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe you're having a hard time, you're tired of being alone or a stranger, whatever it might be, and you say, "Preacher, pray for me." Would you raise your hands? Is there anybody here say, "Preacher, pray for me"? Yeah, I see those hands. All right. Anybody else say, "Preacher, pray"? Okay, I see that hand. I see a few. Okay. All right. All right. Father, You see the hands. You know the hearts. God, I just pray, Father, that You just deal with these people as You see fit. I don't know what the burden might be. I don't know what it might be, God, but I just pray that You get the victory. God, if there's someone here this morning who's lost, I do pray that they might make it right with Thee. God, I pray they get saved. Father, pray You'd bless now in the invitation. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Pastor, why don't you come on up and...
There's one God and one mediator.